This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Taking you up to 6:30 tonight, we're Grant and Danny as we ride into the final furlong here. We'll keep it live and local up until Nats baseball. Coming your way from Los Angeles tonight with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler at about 9:35. First pitch at 10:05, Chavez Ravine out in L.A. Our buddy Linnell Willingham has overtime coming up in a half hour at 6:30. So you want to keep it right here on the fan as you commute around town and get home. But let's not keep our next guest waiting. Joe Beninati, the face, the voice of Caps hockey. When you think hockey and Caps in D.C., I think he's one of the first folks you think of, and we want to talk about the Caps today here in late May because they are in the news. They have a new head coach, and it's a hiring I really like. I want to see if Joe agrees. Joe B., it's been too long. Thanks for hopping aboard. How are you?
Grant, Danny, way too long. I'm doing okay, thanks, and hopefully you guys are as well.
Yeah, always a pleasure, my friend. Tell us what do we need to know. Give us a 30,000-foot view before we get in the nitty-gritty here.
An exciting day. You know, the announcement makes it a very exciting day for Spencer Carberry. In a couple of days' time, he'll meet the media here in D.C. I believe it's scheduled for Thursday morning. And the Capitals have brought back home, if you will, I think a very, very interesting coaching hire in that Spencer is someone who came through the ranks within the organization. Spent, I believe, close to 5 years in the ECHL in South Carolina, another 3 years as the head coach in Hershey at the American Hockey League level. And aren't the Bears doing incredibly well at the moment? But this is a guy who's very familiar within the hallways and within the chat rooms and within the on the phone lines with the ownership and management. They know who this person is. I think they wanted to keep him very much in the fold a few years back when Peter Laviolette was brought in, but the organization might have wanted him to bide his time in the AHL. Spencer sort of gambled on himself, jumped into the NHL with an assistant coaching opportunity in Toronto, made the most of it, and became, I think, guys, you know, as we speak, he was the most highly sought after young up-and-coming coach in the carousel this summer. And there are a number of jobs that were out there and open, a number of jobs I believe that Spencer was considered for and interviewed for. And for him to land in Washington, I think this is a very big plus for the organization.
Joe B., maybe it's impossible to separate the two. What I like about the hire is I think if he was never in Hershey, it's a really nice addition. He was the power play instructor for the number two power play last year and a really good team as the sous chef, so to speak, in Toronto. But the Hershey element is huge for me because he's gotten his fingers and his hands all over the development of some of these really good young players. Of those two, though, which one do you think was more important? Just the young 40s up-and-coming kind of assistant in the NHL, or the fact that he really does know the organization inside and out?
No, it's very good for him, Grant, to have tasted the National Hockey League's the way that the operation works at the major league level. Very good for him to see that operationally. But the answer to your question is, you know, if I run these names by you, McMichael, Snively, Ferravari, Alexiev, Protas, Johansson, Malenstein, these are all guys that are on the verge of and already are, in some cases, on the roster here. Spencer's had a hand in their development already. So he knows from an institutional depth standpoint what the Capitals have, and he's had a direct influence upon it. So I think that means a great deal to the organization. I know he was very highly thought of and highly regarded when he was working through the development levels, whether it be the ECHL or the AHL. People knew that this was going to be a major league head coaching candidate one of these days, and it just so happens that the luck turns out that you're able to nab him back where he grew up.
Joe Beninati with us here on G&D. And Joe B, kind of extending on that point, this is you got to kind of walk both lines here. And what I mean, it's much easier, not that being a head coach anywhere is easy, but we're all relative, right? It's easier if, attention, we're rebuilding. It's nothing but kids. We're developing. We're trying to get to the point where we're competitive. Or this is a veteran team with a window, and we're trying to go for a championship. You're kind of doing both here, right? I mean, you've got the veterans, one of the greatest goal scorer ever to live, and these other guys that need to pull their weight. Plus, you're trying to develop on the fly. It's a really tough challenge. I don't really have a great question other than to say this is not an easy situation.
No, I know where you're heading, and Danny, GM Brian McClellan will use and has used the expression, you're trying to thread the needle.
Yep.
You're trying to link those things that you're talking about, the development part, aspect part, and the remaining relevant in terms of being a championship contender. And this, I hope, this past season is an outlier for the Washington Capitals, who have been routinely in the playoff discussion, 14 or 15 years, 8 years in a row prior to this spring, and that you will be back in the tournament because we see as long as you get in, you have the opportunity to win it. Just look at what Florida is doing. The Panthers, to me, are so reminiscent of what the Caps were in 2018, having been a President's Trophy winner the year before and missed out, and then figuring things out. And you can go through all the parallels, whether they be goaltending or depth and roster depth. It looks a lot like what Washington did in 2018, and Florida's doing it from an 8-seed position. So you get in the tournament, you have a chance. And I think Brian McClellan, I know the organization wants to be back into the postseason as soon as next spring, so that we're not having this discussion about, geez, how long is the offseason when you don't get into playoffs? I know that they want to be relevant and competitive, and they're giving this head coaching opportunity to a fresh thinker who will come in and make a quick, positive impact and impression on this room of veteran players and some of the development players who are just rising up early and still in their infancy as professionals. I think this is the head kind of coach who can communicate with both sides and help you thread that needle.
Joe B, that they also last year found some guys on the fly. They re-upped with several of their young players. So they've started to kind of figured out the next wave, right? Maybe it's not the same star power as some of the greats in organizational history, Ovechkin and Backstrom and the previous group that won a cup, but in just kind of adding to the roster with Sonny Milano coming in and Dylan Strome, who they've re-upped with, and having Abe Kubel around now, it does seem like they've started to have their cake and eat it too and kind of thread that needle that you talk about a little bit. We had Mac on at the trade deadline last year, and he referenced how aggressive he wanted to be, and he even said on this show, he said, we want to go out and add a top six goal scorer with some skill. Like, they add that to this mix, they could be right back into being a fixture in the playoffs.
They want to do that. GM McClellan has said he was going to be aggressive, whether it be through free agency, whether it be through smartly crafted trades in and around draft time. Remember, they're going to be drafting in the top eight, and this is a very, very good draft. I'm not saying that 18-year-old player is going to be ready to come to the NHL next fall. I'm not saying that, but you're going to continue to stock the cupboards, if you will. And now you're starting to talk about where are Hendrix LaPierre, Connor McMichael, if Ivan Miroshnichenko is here, where are they in their development? Can they help you right away? Is there room for them in the lineup that you would sketch out? I think defensively, this team is very close to what it would have on opening night. You can almost put it in ink on your scorecard, what they're going to be on the back end, including the two goalies who are here, and I think acquitted themselves very well last season. To me, though, the cupboard is more and more going to come into play now. How many people are you going to bring down off of that shelf and put into Spencer Carberry's lineup, and how quickly will they be able to adjust and flourish? And that's going to be up to themselves, the players individually, and how well they're taught by Spencer and his staff. It's an exciting time. It's a different time. I don't just expect the Caps to roll out the same lineup when the season begins in October. I sure hope, fingers crossed, that the lengthy offseason is just what the doctor ordered for the older players who need to heal up. I saw Tom Wilson. I saw TJ Oshie recently at a charity event. They both look great, and we're far, far away from training camp. I know that a full offseason will help the likes of Nicklas Backstrom in his recovery, and I thought he was incredible from a medical miracle standpoint to do what he was doing last year. And I fully imagine an offseason for Nicklas, he'll be even better come September, October. So that amount of time to get back into good playing shape, and with the addition of, I think, a few of these kids, plus whatever you can do on the free agent market or through trades, then you get the bump and the inspirational lift that the organization gets when they have a new voice behind the bench. All in all, I think it points to Washington being a better team than most people expect in 23-24.
So, Joe B., to Spencer Carberry specifically, it's coaching style on the spectrum of approachable players coach to, you know, bona fide, austere, hard ass on the bench. What do we know?
I don't know from a personal standpoint, Danny. I don't have a lot of interaction with Spencer other than to watch him put training camp practices through their paces at MedStar Caps Iceplex. You know, I've seen Spencer work with the development players on the side rinks, if you will. You know, the AHL team and the ECHL team are on one side, or on rink A, and the Capitals are on rink B. I know what the players say about Spencer in that he's a very, very good communicator. He's 41 years of age. You know, from an ECHL, AHL standpoint, highly decorated, coach of the year in both of those leagues. As a player, he was a left wing. He never advanced further than the ECHL level. He's been coaching, I want to say, since 2010. And for a guy who's 41 years old, that's an awful lot of coaching experience right off the jump. He has said that Jared Bednar has been a mentor to him. Jared would have coached him at the development level. Jared is the Stanley Cup winning head coach of the Colorado Avalanche, of whom so many people have a very, very strong feeling. And this is something, this is someone that Spencer has gleaned a lot of what his coaching acumen is from. What he's going to preach from if you read the press clippings, things are, I want the team to be on the same page. It's up to me as a head coach to get them ready to execute the reads by detail and have everybody be on the same page with details. He's got to communicate that, and he's the one who's bringing in the new X's and O's and the new system. It's on him to be able to get the players to understand it and to react as quickly as they can, as instinctively as they can. I know he likes speed, and that's something that we all would love to see Washington have more of. He wants the team to react fast, both offensively and defensively. And again, all you have to do as a hockey fan is watch the teams that reach the quarterfinals, the semifinals, the Stanley Cup final. Those teams are all deep. They are talented down the middle, and they work their tails off on defense. So it's not just, wow, look at how fast Carolina is, or look at how fast Vegas is. They're fast offensively, yeah, they move the puck, but they're also fast defensively. You don't transition well against them. They force turnovers. That has always been a calling card for Carberry. Wherever he's been, he wants to make sure that his team is reacting fast on both sides of the puck.
Joe Beninati, Capitals coverage, NBC Sports Washington, with us here on G&D. Before I let you go, a pivot to Alex Ovechkin for a moment. Wouldn't be an interview with Joe B if we didn't ask him about the grade eight,
seriously,
right? My rough math, and correct me if I'm wrong, top of your head, but I think he's 72 goals away at the end of the year of Wayne Gretzky.
Right on.
So forever I've said maybe, maybe, maybe. I just wouldn't allow myself to say it's going to happen. Barring some type of injury, if he's healthy, how would he not catch Gretzky? It seems to me like this is going to happen, and it very likely could happen next season, not this coming season, but two seasons from now. I mean, it just seems like, assuming he's healthy and on the ice, this is almost a certainty. I don't know when we got here, but you kind of look up and you go, oh, my God, that's the car right in front of the windshield. That's the one we're chasing.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy.
Grant, I realize why you're saying it, and I think Alex is always the first person who says, whoa, 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 anything can happen. Let's take it a day by day, a goal by goal. But I understand when you do the math and you sit there and go 72 goals for someone like Alex Ovechkin, as long as those skills do not erode to the point where, you know, you're anticipating Alex is an automatic 35 goal scorer, aren't you? Something in those, in that,
yeah,
along
I'm thinking
those lines?
He scores like 40, 35 to 40 this year. Yeah.
If that happens, then knock on wood, you feel awfully good about the chances of reaching 72. And you put the caveat out there that he's got to remain healthy. And at the end of the season that was just concluded, we saw some nagging injuries crop up and keep him out of the lineup. Now, I've always said this to you and to Danny throughout the times we've been talking about Alex Ovechkin. He has an amazing way of playing through pain and through nights where, you know what, I'm not 100%, but I'll give you everything I got and I'll still produce 3 points. It's been amazing to watch that happen. Now, come training camp, he'll be 38 years old. And if the body reacts as well as it has for the last 17, 18 seasons as a pro, then yes, I can see what you're saying, that the mathematics is going to make sense for him to do this. I just sit there and go, whoa, don't make it automatic. And it's the kind of thing where you just sit there and hope his skill, his shot is never going to go away. That shot is always going to be world class and give goalies fits. So yes, do I think he could fall out of bed and hit 25? Yeah. But 25 means 3 seasons of 25 to get to 72. I don't think his skills are going to erode down to 25. But what happens if we're having this conversation next year and he's coming off of a 27-goal season? Would you feel as strongly?
No, at that point you worry a little bit.
Grant, I hope he goes out and threatens 50 again. That's all he does is threaten 50, right? So let's hope that that continues. But if it doesn't, then you're sitting there going, okay, let's do the math. And I have said I do think it's going to happen. I really do. I think it'll be an incredibly momentous day when it does, but I can understand why Alex will not talk about it. He'll sit there and go, whoa, wait, give me the time. Let me do it in my own way and as quickly or as methodically as it takes. I know he wants to get there. And then as quickly as that comes out of my mouth, guys, more importantly for Alex is to go further in the playoffs and threaten a second Stanley Cup. That number two, I think, is more important to him than 894. And I've said that to you before.
Joe, speaking of math real quick, just doing some rudimentary back of the napkin type stuff here. He's averaged about 0.6 goals per game for most of his career. That pace subsided
phenomenal
a little bit, right? Which, you know, from his early years, scoring 50, 60, you know, 70
goals.
Remember,
last year he was going to blow past 50, miss some games, and then obviously the tragic death in the family.
Absolutely. So I don't even count those normal amount of games missed. But
right,
you do lockout, you do COVID, and a couple other sort of work stoppage things. We basically missed out on 50 goals with that rudimentary math. No doubt. That goals per game ratio and the games that we've missed through circumstances
so
that had nothing to do with him.
Your point is he would be on the precipice right now.
We'd be saying, let's plan the joy in December of this year, or he might have already done it.
It makes me shake my head, guys, that we're that close and yet still, if you can understand, that far away. I get your point. He could be a whole lot closer. And we could talk about that celebration happening in the year ahead or 2 seasons down the road. But 72 from here, I firmly believe that he will do it. And it'll be an incredible day and season and week to celebrate when he does do it. I understand. I want to give him all the room he needs, though, because as soon as you start to mention it with him, he'll be like, whoa, 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 wait, hang on. It's not a foregone conclusion in his mind. I hope he blows the doors off of the season next year again and makes it more that much more elementary. But in his own time, he'll get there. And I do believe he will do it. It's just all about health now.
Joe B., it's just awesome to have you back on the show and to hear you talking hockey again with us. Good to have the Caps back in the news today and great to catch up with you. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. They landed a really good young head coach today. I'm looking forward to seeing what Spencer can do at the NHL level.
And we're excited.
Thank you, Joe B.
Joe Beninati, you can watch him throughout the season on NBC Sports Washington as he calls the games with Craig Lachlan, our iconic NHL broadcasting tandem here in D.C.
They're the best. They're so good. We're so spoiled.
It's weird because just hearing him in May, and normally we're talking to him, but it's about game 3, game 4, game 5. We're breaking the playoffs down. It just feels like the Caps, they've been done for months.
Months
at this point
is the way it feels. That's exactly right.
I'm like, oh, it must almost be training camp. Nope, the Stanley Cup hasn't been played yet, and Brian McClellan has yet to start making moves for the roster.
Like, legitimately, when did the season end? March? April?
April.
I mean, it feels like 3 months ago, four months ago.
I think it was probably six, if I had to get, like 6 weeks ago, something like that. It does. It feels like a long, long time ago. All right, we got to get you the lead off and take a peek at what the Nats have ahead tonight in store. So let's get to it on G&D. We will get you the Nationals lineup and a deep dive into the Dodgers matchup this evening. Danny, get it popping.
Have they posted the lineup yet? Because it is a late game, GP.
They have. I got it.
You got it right there?
Right here in front of me.
I was stalling because the internet was going super slow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lane Thomas bats leadoff and plays center field tonight for the Washington Nationals. Luis Garcia, the second baseman, will hit second. Third baseman Jamer Candelario bats third. Joey Meneses is in right field tonight, batting
fourth.
Here we go.
A little mix up.
That's right. He's playing a little outfield this evening. Dom Smith, the first baseman, will hit fifth. They wanted to get Corey Dickerson in the lineup, I guess, off his feet. He is DHing. He will bat sixth. K-Bert Ruiz, the catcher, will hit seventh. Shortstop, C.J. Abrams, bats eighth. And Ildemaro Vargas gets the nod. He's hit when he's played. The left fielder, he's hitting 320 on the year. They want to get him some ABs. He is in left field. Thomas, Garcia, Candelario, Meneses, Smith, Dickerson, Ruiz, Abrams, Vargas. They are behind Jake Irvin tonight, who gets the start against Tony Gonsolin and the LA Dodgers.
We're trying to go Arena League rules here. No Alex Call in center field, so sacrificing a bit of defense, I would say, to try to bop a little bit against a really good pitcher.
The fact that Call gets the day doesn't surprise me. He hasn't hit a lot. But I got to tell you, it gets me thinking about more ABs for Ildemaro Vargas.
I'm into that.
When he's played, he's hit. Like, you should do that when you're looking for offense and a little bit of pop. The leadoff each and every day on this show before we get out of here, a look ahead to the Nats, and we give you their lineup presented by Rudy's Golf in Kingstown, featuring a double-deck driving range, top tracer tech, two putt-putt courses, and a full restaurant. Fun for the whole family. Visit rudysgolf.com. Rudy's Golf, the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment. That is your leadoff. And that'll do it for G&D. I should let you know, if you want more Nats content, we got a brand new episode of Bustin' Loose Baseball that we posted for you last night. Myself and Toby Altizer, Danny and I interviewing Lane Thomas on BLB, this brand new episode today. Danny, what do you got this evening?
We got a pretty low-key night. We're going to catch up on Daisy Jones and the Six, my friend, try to close out that series as well. Because there's not really any sports until late night Nats.
Yeah, I got some late night 10:05 Nats, my favorite way to do it. 12:14 a.m. or so is when that game's going to end tonight. It's going to be a quick one. We're going to go about 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Dodgers might be rounding the bases a bit, though, buddy. Might take a little longer.
Not if Jake Irvin has anything to say about it.
He might not have that much to say. He might not have a voice.
Do we got a prediction for Jake Irvin's line?
Yeah, we do. I'm going to go 4 1/3, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 93 pitches.
2 2/3, 93 pitches, 7 runs, 8 hits, 4 bubbas. That's based on balls and a nice shower during the game.
Four.
Yeah, he will.
He's going to throw the ball over the plate.
He's going to try to get a little too perfect because he's getting hit a little bit. His next inning gets spun.
Ball's going to be over the plate.
Yeah.
Linnell's got overtime coming your way next. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Grant and Danny.
Thank you for coming.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.